We are going down the valley one by one, with our faces toward the setting of the sun. Down the valley where the mournful cypress grows, where the stream of death in silence onward flows. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going toward the setting of the sun. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going down the valley one by one. We are going down the valley one by one, when the labors of the weary days are done. One by one the cares of earth forever pass, we shall stand upon the river bank at last. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going toward the setting of the sun. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going down the valley one by one. We are going down the valley one by one. Human comrade, you or I shall there have none, but a tender hand will guide us lest we fall. Christ is going down the valley with us all. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going toward the setting of the sun. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going down the valley one by one.
Three seventy-two.
When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to fetch thy ransomed people home, to fetch thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? I love to meet among them now, before thy gracious feet to bow, before thy gracious feet to bow, the vilest of them all. But can I bear the piercing thought, what if my name should be left out? What if my name should be left out, when thou for them shalt call? Prevented by thy grace, be thou, dear Lord, my hiding place. Be thou, dear Lord, my hiding place, in this accepted day. Thy pardoning voice, oh, let me hear, to still my unbelieving fear, to still my unbelieving fear, and grant me faith, I pray. Let me among thy saints be found, when every archangel's trump shall sound.
single sheet, paste it in the back, or just put it around. Everybody got one? Find any one, that actually here.
There is a river we must pass over when life's sun goes to sleep in the west. There'll be a light for me at the crossing, guiding me to my home of sweet rest. There'll be a light for me at the river, guiding my soul across the dark foam. Down through the valley, past the dark shadows, Jesus, my life will carry me home. Soon I shall reach the brink of the river, where the chill waters murmur their song. Nothing can harm me, nothing alarm me, while I am sailing across to my home. There'll be a light for me at the river, guiding my soul across the dark foam. Down through the valley, past the dark shadow, Jesus, my life will carry me home. Down by the river, soon I'll be standing, bidding farewell to friends on the shore, sailing with Jesus on to that land where He is the light that shines evermore. There'll be a light for me at the river, guiding my soul across the dark foam. Down through the valley, past the dark shadow, Jesus, my light will carry me home.
180.
118. I just thought about that.
118.
I need the prayers of those I love while traveling o'er life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love to help me in each trying hour. by his power. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me up on wings of faith, that I may walk the narrow way, kept by our Father's glorious grace. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love.
180.
180? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when
it is well, it is well with weeks, didn't it? I've never.
Let's see, I don't know what I have either.
Saved by grace.
Very good. Oh, yeah, I know that. 469.
Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing, but all the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the king, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday my earthly house will fall, I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Someday when fades the golden sun beneath the rosy tinted west, my blessed Lord will say, well done, and I shall enter into rest. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Someday till then I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trim and burning bright, that when my Savior opes the gate, my soul to him will take. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace.
Good to see each and every one of you that's come out to be with us today. Appreciate our visitors and several faces that are not here that normally are, and we miss them. We realize there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of sickness, a lot of aches and pains that people have, and we want to indeed remember them in our prayers. Sister Dot, I understand, is not doing well right now. She's been suffering for a while. We want to certainly remember her in our prayers. Remember Brother Hilton, he's had a pretty rough time this time. Hopefully he's on the mend. Glad to see him be able to be here. Haven't heard anything from Sister Nancy. Assume she still has trouble getting up and about because of her medicine, because of her aches and pains. Sister Elena, that from Julian Hill, she's been in the hospital. I want to remember her. Anyone else?
Elder Radford.
Brother Tom Radford, Elder Tom Radford. He wasn't able to be at our annual meeting this month. This year, had a good meeting. I'll pass that on to you. The annual meeting of the independent churches on top of the mountain. It's a held at Bethel this year, around Hiawassee. Beautiful setting, beautiful weekend.
What's it going to be next?
Community.
Community.
The fifth Sunday in April next year. We invite you all to come for the annual meeting. But it's a great meeting this year. Had several preachers and felt the Spirit was there. Anyone else we need to remember in our prayers this day?
Richard Berry.
Richard Berry from Elon, I guess it's Elon's dad, right? He's doing better now, though, right?
That's dead, he was. Like a miracle.
Yeah, it's great. I believe in him. We sang that song a little bit ago, and it just is well with my soul. It's a lot of times we read these songs, I mean, we sing them, and they don't register with us. But it said, when peace like a river attendeth my way, which that's what we all strive for, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, as well as my soul. What a wonderful God we serve this morning, that regardless of what comes our way, we don't have to fear it, whether it's seem like a tragedy or something that attacks us or whatever it might be. It's a wonderful blessing to be able to rely on our God, and not only in the bad times, but also in the good, that whatever my lot, we need to thank God for his blessings to us and giving us a faith and a hope and a trust based upon him, the Almighty God, that it doesn't make any difference. Brother Keith, you have a song we can sing.
Sing number 188.
Number 188. You can stand and rest your legs if you have a mind to. I ask you to pray for me, pray for this service, pray that you might hear something that may be of a benefit to you.
God has not promised skies always blue, flowers strong pathway all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, peace without sorrow, joy without pain. But God has promised strength as our day, rest when we labor, light on the way. Grace for our trials, help from above, unfading kindness, undying love. Though we have mingled sunshine and rain, clouds decked with rainbows, joy mixed with pain, let us still trust his mercies right on, and sing his praises all the day long.
Let us pray. Most holy and righteous God, as we come this day, we realize our weaknesses. We realize how frail we are. We notice our aches and pains as we bow on our knees and bow our heads. As we get out and come to the service this morning, we thank you, O Lord, for thy mercy and thy care. We've come this morning for no other purpose than to glorify thy holy and righteous name. Gracious God, we ask that thou would look down upon this assembly that's come to be here this day. Gracious God, we ask you to impress upon our hearts and our minds that it is well with our soul this day, that regardless of what may come our way, we realize that we are in thy hand. Gracious God, we've mentioned, sir, that we need to pray for this morning. We ask, O Lord, that you look upon Sister Dot. Cause her, O Lord, to overcome her problems. Brother Hilton, O Lord, Brother Radford, all those that we've called out this morning, gracious God, be around about them. Give them strength in their problems and give a healing hand unto them, O Lord, that they may rise up once again in a sound mind and sound body. Gracious God, we're thankful that this day that thou hast promised us grace for our trials, wherever they might be. We're thankful, O Lord, that thou hast given us a mind to be here this day. We ask, O Lord, that something may be said this day that may be of a benefit to someone. We ask, O Lord, that you would give us a hearing ear and an understanding heart, that we may see thy glory proclaimed throughout the scriptures and throughout our lives. Gracious God, continue to be around about us in this service and all the services that are meeting this day in thy name. Gracious God, we ask that you continue to bless this dear country that we have been blessed to live in all these years. Gracious God, be around about our service people, our men and our women on foreign soils or here at home. Keep them safe, O Lord, and guide them, O Lord, in a way that you would have them to go. Bless them, O Lord, and give them strength that they may protect this country and all of us. Gracious God, be around about them and bring them home safely in a reasonable manner. Gracious God, we ask you to be around about us all. Bless us all in Christ's name, we humbly pray. And amen.
Amen.
One of the highest honors that we can give to man, according to the scriptures, is the derogatory term that we found that the Jews called the people that were following Christ at Antioch. Called them Christians. It was meant as an insult to them because they were listening to this man that they didn't much believe in. He said they were first called Christians there, and that can be one of the greatest honors that we could have, is to be a Christian or a good Christian or whatever. And we kind of strive to do that. We try to please God. We try to do what he would have us to do, and we hope we're doing the right thing. And the greatest fear that I have, especially when I stand here, is that I would mislead you in some way. I fear that I might read something with some kind of bias and get off track, and I might tell you something wrong. I've talked to so many people that in our conversation would talk about beliefs, and they will say, I believe this. And I'll say, why do you believe that? Well, my preacher said so. And that's very dangerous. I want you to hear what I have to say. But the moment I vary from what Scripture says, that's when I become a false prophet. And if I don't realize it, it makes it even worse. But we want to do what God wants us to do. We want to do what's pleasing in his sight. We don't come here to show God how good we are. We don't show him how obedient we are. We come for one purpose, and that's to glorify his name. We live in a society today that is civil, and we have progressed to the point that if the things that are bad today weren't even noticed a long time ago, and I'll try to explain that. Little insignificant things, if I insult somebody today, it might create a big stir. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, nobody would have thought nothing about it if I'd have called you a bad name. That's the way people are. We've become more civilized today, so we're more sensitive, and we're not as uncivil as we used to be. It's hard for me to explain what I'm trying to say is, but what I'm saying is, when we try to do good, we think, well, if I don't use bad language, and if I go to church regularly, and if I help old ladies across the street, then I ought to be a pretty good person. Our level of seeing how sinful we are has raised to the point where we don't realize how bad we were. Whenever we try to be a good Christian, I'm trying to get to a point here, whenever we try to be a good Christian, it's obvious that we need the saving power of Jesus' blood. We need to have the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. We need to have the grace of faith and hope and love. And God has promised these things to us. And what we need to see in ourselves, if God has given us these gifts, what do we do with them? How do we get back to where our intended purpose is to be, as to being a follower of Christ? In the beginning, man was created to glorify God. We all know that. But he also made man in his image. When he made him in his image, he didn't make him to look like us. We are not supposed to look like God. When he says he made us in his image, we are supposed to reflect what God reflects. If you see goodness in God, when somebody looks at us, they should see a goodness in us as a Christian. That's our image. And we're supposed to be like him. If I could describe the gifts that God gave Adam in this creating him in his image, I would say that Adam was given a gift of true and right knowledge of God. Whenever Adam walked with God, he knew who his Creator was. He was able to walk and talk with him, to think the things that he was talking about, to understand them, and to speak God's thoughts. That was one of the gifts that we so much desire today, to be able to understand God, to be able to recognize him whenever we might see him. This is a wonderful gift that God gave to Adam, and we see the pattern or the type that's pointing to a prophet. So God created Adam to be a prophet, in that he could speak God's words. Now, he created Adam with a heart to love God. There was no hate there. Whenever he created him, he created him in that he would dedicate his life to God through love. And we see in that a pattern of a priest. It points to him being created not only a prophet, but also as a priest. And then we see that he was given the ability to exercise dominion over all of God's creation. He had the power second only to the Almighty God. And we see that he was not only given the ability to be a prophet, a priest, but also a king. The original intent that God has. This was man's high calling. This was man's duty to be
in the image of God to be a prophet, a priest, and king. But that's where the problem came in. Man fell from the high calling that he had. When sin entered, our image became marred. Our image became tainted and warped and stained. And we went from righteousness to corruption, from holiness to impurity. We went from true knowledge to holding God's truth in unrighteousness. We became false prophets. We were not speaking and thinking God's thoughts, but we were boasting upon our own works and our own words, and we weren't looking to God for the standard. We have come to the point as a false prophet that we set our own standard of right and wrong. And we see that changes every few years. Whatever we decide is okay without whatever God puts into it. We think we are good enough that we can determine right and wrong. But then we became a false prophet. We no longer are dedicating our life to God, but we're dedicating our life to whatever is fun for us or whatever we want to do. We're not looking to God for direction anymore. And so we're not dedicating our lives to Him. We're dedicating our lives to wickedness and evil. Whenever we decide that what we're going to do next week is usually not what God would have us to do, but what is the most fun or the wildest or whatever adjective we can come up with, we decide that's what we want to do, not what God wants to do. So we're a false priest and we've become a false king because we're no longer ruling over God's creation, but we're using God's creation for our wants and needs. So we fell from that. We're no longer the prophet, priest, and king that God created us to be. Now, if I want to be a Christian or a good Christian, how do I get back to that restored image of God? And it's more to it than just quit using bad language. In the Old Testament, the Jews lived under a system of government called a theocracy. It was ruled by God. If God said, do this, that's what you did. If God says, don't do this, that's what you didn't do. Now, we kind of live under a theocracy for a couple hours every week. We come into the church and hopefully we do what God wants us to do. His word is rule. He is the king. He is our master. He is the almighty sovereign God, and we'll do exactly what He wants to. But as soon as church is over, most people go back to the home, and we have to contend with the world. We have to live by our street smarts, and I have to deal with things that come at me from all sides, and I don't have time to ask God, what would you want me to do? I've got to worry about this problem and this problem. So we live under a theocracy for a couple of hours a week, and the rest of the time is something else. But it was understood back in those days that God was almighty, and our very being, your very breath is because of Him. And He is the almighty, and you were supposed to strive to do what He would have you to do. That was the rule of the day. That's how you lived your life, is do what God would have you to do. But it's obvious that God was more important back then than He is today. We can give Him a couple hours, but that's about it. I want you to think back when Mary and Joseph had a new baby, and they named that baby Jesus. Everybody liked that name. It was a lot of young children in that day named Jesus. The name meant Savior, but it didn't offend anyone. It was a common name. And they named it, but as it grew and things started to change and people started to see who Jesus, in the Hebrew name, was Savior, they began to see Him do miracles and heal the sick and walking on water, and people started calling Him the Christ. And when He called Himself the Christ, people got very upset. In the book of Matthew, whenever Jesus was taken before the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees to be tried before he went before Pontius Pilate, before his crucifixion. He was being questioned by the Jews. And I want you to listen to the charge that they had against him. He said, and the high priest arose, this was the judge, the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? Which is it, which were these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I abjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. He says, tell us what you think. Tell us what you're thinking. Are you claiming to be the Christ? They didn't have a problem with him being called Jesus. They had a problem with him saying that his name was Christ. Now this bothered him. It wasn't the name, it was the title. A couple weeks or two or three weeks ago, we had a big fancy wedding over in England. And the daddy of the groom was Prince Charles. Charles was the fellow's name. Prince was his title. That was his office. That was his duties. The same way as this is Brother Keith. His name is Keith. Brother is his title. That's his office. That's his calling. That tells me which Keith it is. It's Brother Keith, and when I see the brother in front of his name, that means that he has been called by God, he's been regenerated, he's been baptized, he's not ashamed to be seen with other people that professes the same faith. So this title determines who this person is. And whenever Jesus called himself the Christ, that's when they had the problem with it. Now what is Christ? In Hebrew, the word Christ means Messiah. But in Greek, it means anointed. And that's what he was saying. To say Jesus is the Christ is saying that Jesus is the anointed one. What upset the Jews so bad was that Jesus called himself the anointed one. Why did he get upset about that? Back in the Old Testament, they had a whole lot of people that were anointed. All the prophets and the priests and the king were all anointed. It didn't bother them. Whenever you anoint something, that's putting an oil or a salve on it. That's what anointing means. It was a common practice back in the Old Testament. A lady would anoint herself to make herself nice and smooth. That's why women are generally prettier than men, because they take care of their skin. Men don't care. They've got old rough, ragged skin. A woman takes care of their skin. They put oil and lotion on it. That's what the anointing was. Whenever a soldier would come in from a battle and he'd been hot and sweaty and been wearing his heavy armor, that's what they'd do. They'd drill.